Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and just wanted to remind you that our podcast is just rocking. We're so excited. After 20 years of broadcasting, we are finally podcasting. The Aware Show is my regular show, and you can look up wherever you hear podcasts, look up The Aware Show or Lisa Gar. This particular week, we have a wonderful series that's running. It's called The New Mind, and it's kind of how to create a new way of being in this constant state of change that we're in. And based on our conversation we're having astrologically right now, it's a really timely series. So you can check that out there, as well as some best of interviews with Dr. Joe Dispenza, Wayne Dyer, wonderful interviews that I've done over the years. So check out the Aware Show podcast and download it now. All right, we'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Vedic astrologer Carol Allen. You can find her on her website, soulmatestars.com. So far, it's been pretty depressing. There it is. 2020 sucked, and so is the rest of the year. That's basically what we've learned. Thanks a lot. And next guest, we're going to talk
Yeah, get the hook. Like, get her out of here. Play the violins. Get her off stage.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm
Go
really
to
glad
commercial.
you're not sugarcoating this at all. It's basically stating that the worst is yet to come.
Well,
So.
so here's the thing, though, Lisa. You and I know this. Okay, so there's the collective karma. There's what's happening to a market, a country, a culture, et cetera. But then there's individual. And individual destiny is not the same as collective. So the collective can be going left, and you individually can be going up. You know what I mean? So we all have our own unique experience. And I mean, I know people that have absolutely loved this time. They don't love the reason for it, and they don't love the suffering that's occurring, but they have loved slowing down. They have loved pausing. They have become so much more grateful, and they've connected more deeply with their family or their partner or their work or their creative projects or. And so not everybody is having a bad time. They're
Right.
not.
And
And
there are people that are flourishing financially too. They've pivoted into different lines of
oh my
business
gosh,
and
imagine being the guy who owns Zoom, right? Like, imagine January 1 having like his plans for the year. I doubt they included like over, growing the business by a jillion fold, right? Like, I doubt that was his expectation
Well,
or goal.
or anyone who's making masks or hand sanitizer, I mean, this is
Toilet
definitely
paper, right? Right.
And at the same time, yes, there's a lot of opportunity for less travel. I think the environment has come out the winner in this whole entire experience with less pollution, less air travel, less car travel, less,
Right.
to work travel. And we've learned to create our sanctuaries at home and making our work life balance. That's not so much happening now, but it's, we're in a great state. Period of education as well. There's more information available to us more than ever. And people are actually doing more research, reading, taking classes. And there's an upside to being a lifelong learner in this period of time as well, to reshape what you're doing and reform some things. But there's also the relationship piece. And you mentioned, okay, so there was 34% increase in separations since Corona.
Yeah, and people actually filing for divorce, as crazy as that sounds. And it's for a combination of reasons. So I already mentioned people have lost their distractions, and they've also lost the balance in their lives. And so suddenly it's too much togetherness, and it's also been a very stressful time, and we all deal with stress differently, and we've all responded to the virus differently. So couples are disagreeing about things that are very emotionally charged and very meaningful and important to them. So it's bringing forth the cracks in communication that some people have, and it's forcing everyone to really ask themselves, is this what I want? Because I think what we've all seen is life really can turn on a dime. And we just never know in life what's going to happen. And so it's woken a lot of people up to the truth of their lives, and it's made people ask the question of, is this enough? Is this what I want? Is this going to make me happy? So, you know, what a lot of divorce attorneys are saying is that they feel like the people that have hit the breaking point this year would have anyway and should have anyway, you know? So
it just got moved up a little bit.
It just got accelerated, mm-hmm. right? It happened more quickly and it happened more intensely than it might have otherwise. And maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I will say, as a relationship coach in the work mm-hmm. that I do, helping people with their relationships, the complaint I hear the most, I have to say, is people feeling like they stay too long in the wrong thing when they knew it was wrong, or they knew it had run its course, but they don't want the discomfort of extricating themselves. They don't want to go through breaking up. Who wants to break
up?
Right.
And then how do you date in a time of COVID?
Well, you know, I have a lot of clients falling in love right now, believe it or not. And I have a lot of clients figuring it out. And it's an individual situation. Not everyone's going to be comfortable. But, you know, the initial thing is a lot of people are online dating, of course. They were before this, but now they are mm-hmm. more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So your first date is over the phone. Then it's like a video date or a FaceTime or a Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Make Mr. Zoom even more money this year, right? And then it's social distancing dating. Maybe go for a walk or a hike or have a picnic 10 feet apart.
Starting slow. This is good.
Yeah, it's kind mm-hmm. of forcing people to get to know each other and mm-hmm. to not just, you know, hook up. I mean, we really have become a hookup culture in a lot of ways.
And especially our younger generation.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That happened.
And you know, it's interesting. Anytime there's more women than men in a society, like after a war or famine or migration or whatever, if there's a disproportionate number of women to men, women start competing sexually. And so what's happened over the last few decades is women are doing really well. Women are graduating at higher levels from med school, college, law school, but we've still been raised to want the taller, richer, more educated guy, right? And so there's a larger pool of educated women now as young people, and a smaller pool, and they're all competing for the guy that's more educated, more successful, et cetera, than they are. And so when that happens, women become sexually competitive. And so it works, you know, it's working for the men.
That's interesting.
It's not so much working for the women. I mean, there are women that love it too, but there are a lot that don't. So anyway, that's a whole other show.
It's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. So if we go into the ways to work on each other or stay in a relationship, there's plenty of ways to do that if you choose to try to make it work. And I don't want to just say that just because of COVID and you find that there's, you know, a loss of balance, that isn't hopeless. And there's ways to create and regain that level of balance back into your life. And there's also, at the same time, you can recreate your environment and do new things together that you maybe haven't done before. Maybe use distractions.
Well, I'm talking to so many people that are still acting like they can't leave the house. I mean, just today I talked to a client who hasn't gone anywhere in 6 months, and I said, and she hasn't seen her friends, and she mm-hmm. hasn't gone to the beach. I mean, I couldn't believe it, and I said to her, "Sweetie, you know, you can sit in a girlfriend's front yard, right? You can sit on somebody's porch. You can go to the beach. You can go to the Huntington Gardens. You can go." Like, there's still so many ways to be safe and still have a life. And we have to. We can't, you know, the misery and the depression of isolating and of having no social networks or no in-person social networks, that's terrible for us.
Yeah, it is. It's not healthy in terms of brain development either. We do
Right.
need socialization, especially if you have kids. You know, the parks are still open. They're allowing people, less people in them, and you have to be distanced. That's for everybody's good. So there are ways to, you know, that's one thing that I've seen is a lot more people walking in the neighborhood at sunset as families, or when I, you know, you see people enjoying the sunset more rather than sitting in the traffic around it, if you can see the sun these days. But it's, yeah, there are different ways that you can go, or it doesn't mean that staying together is right or wrong, or breaking up is right or wrong. It's what works for you. But as long as you do it consciously and you don't just trigger react to this current time, because
Right.
as if it's going to last for a long time, what would you, how would you change if you knew that this was going to last for a long time? And it's a, I've, you know, I've said that for since the beginning of this, is that there, this is a new world we're in. And just as we saw 9/11 change everything, this entire experience of this virus is changing everything. And the more that we think about going back to our normal, it causes pain. It causes a certain amount of pain because it could be a long time or disappointment when if it never happens, and you have to create kind of a new frame of mind in order to go forward and to be open to opportunities or possibilities going forward. Not the easiest said, but the quicker you can wrap your mind around the concept, it makes it a little bit less painful.
Well, and I think what we all have to do to ensure our relationships go as well as possible is focus on ourselves, right? And do what makes us happy and ramp up self-care and ramp up self-compassion. Because I think in times like this, if you're not taking care of yourself, you know, like this client I had today who hasn't seen a friend in 6 months and hasn't left the house, she's wanting too much from her boyfriend and getting disappointed when he's not as available or when he's playing a video game or and you know, that's a mistake. We always have to make ourselves happy first. We always have to put the oxygen on ourselves first, or we're no good to anybody else. But if you look at how relationships work, you know, there's so much research on couples who are in a relationship or in a marriage who report as being unhappy. Overwhelmingly, if they stay together, 5 years later, those same people report being very happy. And so it's like recognizing there's a waxing and waning, and when you're really committed, you are committed, you know, and you don't just bail because it's not fun anymore or it's because it's gotten harder. But again, back to what a lot of attorneys are saying, a lot of these couples that are breaking up weren't really,
They're at a stressing point anyway.
yeah, or they weren't really a fit, or they
And
didn't really have the right, you
just
know,
kind of tipped it all over.
alignment of values and goals and all of
Speaking
that.
of being together and apart, what about here's a segue for you. You were doing the political charts of the candidates right now.
Yes.
What about, we didn't cover Mike Pence's chart. Have you done that?
You know, I have. Let me pull him up. I printed everyone out, but I didn't print him out. You know, he's,
In
no
the
offense,
background.
Mike Pence, but I don't really think about him. He's not as, he's more, he really is a second banana, you know,
We'll
like he
try to
really
be.
doesn't.
No, there's no room for anyone else. And when you have such a large personality
That is a
as
very good point.
Trump, there's not,
Right.
you know your place
Right. Well, and
around.
apparently that was why he went, you know, and obviously he's very intelligent and he's very, you know, he's had a lot of accomplishment prior to this, but apparently that was why he was chosen was and apparently Trump left it to Melania and she spent, you know, a couple of days with the last three people under consideration and she went back to Trump and said he doesn't want your job. He would be satisfied as the vice president. So if we look at his chart now, Mike Pence is a very interesting guy, right? Because he lives He lives between the lines, right? He draws between the lines. He is extremely, he's a rules guy.
Okay.
He's a rules guy, right? He won't be alone with a woman. He won't go to dinner with a colleague. He won't, you know, he's a black and white thinker. And that is indicated by the moon and Saturn being opposite and Saturn in his chart being retrograde, so it's stronger. And interestingly enough, this is fascinating, he has the moon in Ardra, that constellation in Gemini that's fascinating that he happened to be the vice president.
What does that mean again?
While Rahu was in Ardra. Ardra is symbolized by a teardrop.
Oh, right.
So Ardra people, their lives are turbulent. Their lives are stormy. They do not have boring, normal lives. They buckle up and they have a lot of drama, and he certainly has. But do you have a specific question? Like, what do I think?
Well, in terms of compatibility, could he ever be a president if something were to...
Oh, that is an excellent question. Well, you know, his rising sign is Leo, which is the sign of royalty, and his sun sign is in the 10th house, which is a very powerful place for the sun to be. Yeah, I mean, if, you know, from 1840 up until 1980, every president on the 20-year cycles of Saturn and Jupiter coming together has died in office. If Trump were to die in office, could he step forward? You know, I think he could. Now, would I personally want him to? That's not for me to say on this show, but I definitely think he could. And yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So there is potential there, but
well, and it's interesting too because Rahu is switching signs at the end of this month, and it's moving into his 10th house, into his sun sign, and that can bring you to a more influential place. That can make you, and that's for the next 18 months.
Mm-hmm. So that's
a good. We'll see.
Right now, what you're describing between Pence and Trump, it's a powerful combination. And
yeah,
we don't know enough about Biden.
Charts.
Yeah,
so totally we do. Now, mm-hmm. I will say, though, Pence's chart, he's in a planetary period of Mercury, which rules his house of fame and is in his career house, which is part of why he's in the second most powerful job in the world, in a sub-period of the moon. And at the time of the election, the sub-period will be Mars. And Mars is in his 12th house, which is losses, and it's debilitated, which is weak. So again, he and Trump are both in a difficult, what's called bukti or sub period. And the sub period within a major period is just as important. It's a very significant indicator of the timing a person's having. Mm-hmm. So, you know, can you imagine being president or vice president during a world crisis? I mean, it's gotta be hell.
I know. There's no precedence for this, and that's why it's called an unprecedented event. But it also is one of the things that I've been seeing for a long time is that a lot of the power has been handed back to the people. And what we do with this situation and this environment is going to shape our future. So remember that we're not just two leaders. We are our own people, too, and we can create leadership within our own communities. All right. With that said, we will be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Just wanted to let you know that we've added a whole nother network to their list of networks that we air the Aware Show on. We are now airing on Free Speech TV. And if you go to freespeech.org and you go to the shows page, you'll see the Aware Show up there. And those are, if you love hearing or listening to these shows on radio, then you can also watch them on freespeech.org. And you'll just check out on the shows page, the Aware Show. Right now, I believe they're in the middle of a big fund drive for public television, and all 100% of the donations are being matched right now, which is wonderful. There are certain people that are wonderful to match the donations, so they're sort of right in the middle of that. So anyway, check out the show. It is free, which is the point, freespeech.org. It's not behind a paywall. You don't have to be a subscriber. It is information for everyone. So check that out there, and you can see me there. All right, we will be back on Coast to Coast AM with my guest, Carol Allen. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Carol Allen, Vedic astrologer, and we are ready to take your calls. Is that good, Carol?
Sure.
Sure. You're doing great. I mean, such great information, very knowledgeable about everything Vedic. You've been doing this for a long time. And
a long time. You and I did a show right after 9/11.
Yeah.
That.
That was a while. Yep.
Crazy.
Absolutely. I remember. You can check out Carol's website, by the way, at soulmatestars.com. And check out her newsletter's great. Always really timely. I think it comes out once a week. Is that right?
Actually, it's every other day.
Oh, my goodness, girl.
That's
you are
insane.
Busy. Okay. A lot.
You don't have to read it every time.
It changes fast.
You can actually sign up to just get it once a week. Yeah.
That is amazing. That's a lot. Okay, so let's go to Daniel in Arkansas. Hi, Daniel. Do you have a question for Carol Allen?
Yes. It seems like it sounded like you kind of faded out on me, but hopefully you're still there.
I am. Yes.
We are.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi.
And I'm sorry for bad connections. Gina and I have been discussing how many times I've been dumped.
Oh no. Well, let's talk about what is your question about? Is it Western? You are an astrologer, right?
Well, they used to call me the Star Guy, and I just trained myself with millions of dollars worth of books. And
oh gosh,
I got to be pretty good at it, evidently. But anyway, that was Western astrology, and
great.
I'm absolutely not familiar with Vedic astrology at all. I had a reading done by somebody who did my birth chart, my natal chart, 30 years ago, and they said I had the most paradoxical chart she had seen in 30 years.
Oh, wow.
As a challenge, I'm wondering if Vedic astrology is something I might want to investigate to see about unfurling some of that paradoxicality.
Well, I will tell you the advantage of Vedic astrology. And by the way, I have had wonderful Western readings, and both systems work. So I'm not here to say
one's better than the other.
Everything you've ever learned and throw those millions of dollars of books away, like have a big bonfire. but the advantage of Vedic astrology is that all the original writings of this system are still intact and available and freely shared. And what happened in Western astrology is all the original writings, so many of them were lost in the fires, the great fires of the Great Library of Alexandria. And then in the Middle Ages, during the Middle Ages, the church tried to stamp it out, and they burned all the books and all the astrologers. So that little bonfire thing was kind of hearkening back to that. So a lot of the wisdom has been lost. And all of my teachers started as Western astrologers, because here we are in the West, of course. But when they found Vedic astrology, they said it was like going from high school to getting a PhD. They said the techniques, the detail, the specificity, the level of information they were able to work with and uncover was just so much greater. And so you might really enjoy it. And when it comes to relationships, part of why I love it so much is it's astonishing, not only in predicting when relationships will come, but we have a technique that looks at, it's how they've arranged marriages in India for centuries, maybe even millennia, and yet they still arrange 90% of their marriages.
Yep.
And if you're a Hindu, you don't get married without having the blessing of an astrologer. So these techniques are really incredible.
There's even the location astrology that's in the Vedic system.
Absolutely.
Astrocartography, is that it?
Well, astrocartography is actually not specifically Western or Vedic. It's actually the newest thing I've ever heard of in astrology. It's only like a 60-year-old technique, but you can do it with Vedic calculations and techniques or Western. But there are other ways of looking at location that are really amazing. You can do your chart as though you were born in the places you're thinking of, and see how it changes your chart. And then you can also look at which planets in your chart are the most auspicious and positive for you. And each planet rules a direction. And so living in a place of that direction will help bring forward the positive mojo of your best planet. And so there's techniques like that that can be very, very helpful.
That's fascinating that you can actually determine where a good place to live would be. And
it's crazy.
Yeah. And right now, there's a lot of people moving, finding that either because they've lost their jobs, they're moving out of expensive cities and they're going back home. A lot of students and so forth are doing the same.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing to see where you could restart a whole life at this point if you choose.
Right.
So astrocartography is an interesting way to find your best fit for where you want to live. Okay, so let's go back to the phones here. Well, question. Okay, I'll just have someone, Deb, ask it. Deb from West, the West of the Rockies in Vacaville, California. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi,
you two. This has been a fun evening last few hours, actually all 4 hours.
Great.
And I'm calling to find out, is there a specific thing that older people can take from their people who've been born before, like, say, 1970, 1965, is there something that's in common for all those people for cope? I mean, there's so many of us. Is there something that we have in common in our charts within the Vedic astrology that where we can maybe take some guidance or take some instruction, what to do now or that sort of thing?
Interesting
I don't
question.
Need to be so general.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Wow. Well, you know, I think, and forgive me, I say I think because Vedic astrology doesn't traditionally use the outer planets, Neptune, Pluto, and Uranus, but they're the ones that have the longest orbits. And so generationally, everybody, you know, to your point, over 52 or more, it's going to have like the same Uranus or the same Pluto or the same. And that can speak to why it becomes really common. So like it became really common in the 70s for everybody to get divorced, right? That was like a totally new thing, right? And it's because they all had this, Uranus in Libra, which Libra is the natural sign of partnership. Uranus brings like sudden reversals, sudden changes, revolutionary ideas. But Deb, I wish I had an answer for you.
That's a good one. That's a really good question. If that, what would you imagine
really
it would be
question.
If there you're looking for something that could help you navigate these times? Is that what you were kind of imagining, Deb?
I am quite a fan of the Western astrologies, but frankly, I'm going to look up everything now. You've planted a lovely, lovely seed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Interesting. Well, thank you for the question.
I'm going to pay attention. Maybe as the Vedic astrology gets older, there will be someone who looks at all of those other planets. I don't know.
You know, the thing that's so incredible is how unique and individual we all are. And one of the things that is unique to Vedic astrology is we don't just have one chart. We have 16 subcharts as well. And then we have these planetary periods, and then they have sub-periods and sub-sub-periods and sub-sub-sub-periods.
Wow.
And so you can't really glom everyone together and say, this is happening for all of you. It's why it's hard for me to write articles, even though I write a lot of them, or
mm-hmm.
even do shows like this and really feel like I sometimes know what to say, because your experience might be absolutely nothing like the person next to you,
mm-hmm.
even in a time like this where we're all going through a lot of the same fears and changes and edicts, like don't leave the house, right? But the power in astrology is in the individualized information. And
most astrology. Well, thank you. I find it very accurate. And I often forget about questioning or looking to the charts when you're trying to make a decision about something, because it does have a pattern that occurs. And when you match it up with your stars and your sign. It really, there is a science there.
Well, and it's like having a map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or weather predictions. So it's like saying, gosh, I was going to go on that boating trip without checking the weather or without checking the tide.
Oh, right.
You know,
you wouldn't do
like,
that, right?
Like, it's not to make your decisions for you, but it's to align yourself with the elements of life so that you're in the flow and you're as supported as possible.
Is it difficult to learn?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, there's a saying that every 200 years, a true astrologer is born and the rest of us are all students.
That makes sense.
So,
you just explained it.
One of my teachers, I will say, is the one. You know, I went to school for it for 12 years once a week, and I read like 70 books. I didn't spend $1 million like our past caller. And I still feel like I just have a thimbleful of this ocean of information. So I've seen people get really good in 6 months, but most of us need a few years.
Yes. And yeah. Have you ever been to India or studied with some of the Vedic masters in India?
You know, it's crazy to admit that I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
What's so wonderful about this intersection of history and technology is it isn't actually necessary to. They've been so generous with their wisdom. And travel and the internet has made it possible to learn so much and everything you need to know without ever going there. One of my mentors lived there for a year, and he actually married an Indian woman that he met there, a gentleman named Ernst Wilhelm, and he's the one that I was saying, you know, he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So brilliant. And then, you know, I'm a huge fan of a man named James Kelleher, who is incredible at world predictions, and he's got the best pedigree of any of us. His teacher was a guru, like an enlightened master, who taught him Vedic astrology, and like he kind of apprenticed under him. And then he's been to India over 50 times. He's been to every astrologer and every guru in India. He's gone to all the spiritual sites. So there's that extreme, and then there's Carol Allen, who is a Valley girl learning in Los Angeles. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But I was extremely fortunate. There used to be a school here in L.A. in a woman's garage, and she had a revolving faculty that included a man named Chakrapani Ullal, who was a very famous. He actually coined the term Vedic astrology, and he was a teacher there once a month.
Wow!
And all the best Vedic astrologers in the West blew through there, and then all the Indian guys, when they would come over, would come through there. And it just happened to be 6 blocks from where I was living. It was the only school like it in the United States at the time, and this was before the Internet. And so I feel extremely moved and humbled that I had access to this wisdom.
Is it part of your chart that you were going to be doing this?
Oh, my God, totally. It's ridiculous when you look at my chart. And it's so funny, my first astrology reading with a Vedic astrologer, he said, wow, use the chart of some kind of spiritual counselor. And I was like, really? I was trying to be an actress like everyone else in their 20s in Los Angeles. And he said, wow, you know, the arts are going to be really difficult for you.
Oh, great, great. Well, that at least you got that tip early on.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
I suggest to every...
I had no idea what he was talking about, but here we are.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful experience.
It's been a while.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's been, oh my gosh.
You found your own soulmate through your program, right?
Well, you know, I actually knew him before, but it helped give me more understanding of how to navigate our relationship, of course, and it helped give me more confidence because our charts are so compatible, and and he showed up right on schedule. I mean, it's crazy.
That's great.
Yeah, so it certainly has helped for sure. But
let's see, we have time for one more caller. If I can go to Jim in Greenville, South Carolina. Jim, hey, do you have a question for Carol Allen?
Yes, good morning, Lisa and Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Jim.
My question is generally about any astrology. and that is when we're looking at the stars and the planets, we're seeing history. The planets, when we're looking at them, the information's about 4 or 5 minutes old, and the stars, the position that we're seeing, can be hundreds of years in the past. What does astrology do to compensate for that difference?
Great question.
Well, yeah, they're like millions of light years away, right? Or trillion. Well, what people often misunderstand about astrology is it's not gravitational pull that's causing it to affect us. It's light frequencies. It's for lack of a better way of saying it, forgive me, it's vibes, man. It's vibrations, right? And so I don't think it matters, to be quite honest.
That's
I am not really good at articulating the how of astrology. I can't tell you anything about light frequencies or I can't tell you anything about that. I can say I sat on an airplane once next to a man who his job was with Hughes Aircraft, and his job was to take infrared instruments and take the temperature off of stars. And I said, why does that matter, without revealing to him what I did? He said, oh, it's so important, and it affects our DNA, and it affects plant growth. It's affecting everything about life on Earth. It's the temperature off of stars. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I'm not really the how person. I'm really the does it work person. And I can tell you, sir, that in 29 years of doing this work, it just works again and again and again. It's just
fascinating.
It's just insane.
That is a great question. I mean, I never thought about it that way. But yeah, that there's so many different, it's not the physical stars you're looking at, it's the charts of the stars. And that, you know, I again, out of my league as well. But good question, good answer.
Yeah, I failed physics for poets, so rock the class.
Well, thank you so much. Lots of great information, and soulmatestars.com is the website. Thank you so much, Carol. It's been so much fun.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you all the callers and the listeners and everyone. God bless, and we will get through this. And
I hope so. All right.
We will.
Well, thank you, and I want to say thank you to George Nori and Lisa Lyon and Gina Safadi and Tommy Danheiser. Thank you all so much for this incredible show. Michael Cosio with me in studio, just a rock star here. Our webmaster, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, and Chris Boros, you guys are amazing as well. And all of you listening, your energy makes this show happen night after night. So thank you for being here for all of us and for all of each other. I'm Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.